Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And it's almost Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, shit.
So we got ourselves a Mexican-style lager going on here.
From Riverina Brewing Company. Did they ever figure out their situation with asking the public for money and all that jazz?
I don't think it's been solved.
Okay.
Right? But it's a magical place.
This beer features Saz hops. This is Taco Fest Mexican Lager.
Right. And so we were drinking this a little bit in the pre-show.
Saz.
It's a tasty beer, right?
Yes. Let's start there. Yes, I like the beer.
I like the beer. This is a great, feels like a great summer beer. I'm confused. Like, I think it said it was like labeled February, so it's been out for a little bit here. So dropping this style beer in February seems a little odd, but it feels like this could be a great summer beer.
Any time of the year is a good time for Mexican lager.
Okay, all right. but we were drinking it, and we're like, this feels more like a light lager kind of feeling than a Mexican lager, right?
There's a beer at Salamo still like called the 77, called a neighborhood lager. It's like 4%.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks a lot like this, where it's just a very, very light straw color. And when you think Mexican lager, you think a little more of gold, not the straw. Now we're pulling hairs, right? It's not quite dark gold. It's more of a straw.
It's still yellow, Nick. It's still fizzy and yellow.
But this is what we do here. You know, we fuss over beer. but then also, I don't think it has the bite or the body that a Mexican lager usually has, right?
The balls.
It's missing the balls. It is more of a light lager than a Mexican lager.
Yeah.
And I mean, that could just be a feeling, but I mean, I don't know. We got the app here. We could see.
Oh, what the definition of a Mexican lager
like, are the features of a Mexican lager?
What do we got?
I
feel like you're right. 4.5 seems a little low.
Yeah.
On the Mexican lager standpoint. But they're also a place that is all about the tacos. So it makes sense that they'd want a Mexican lager to go with their tacos.
Yeah.
Those tacos are good. All right. So what do you got on that?
Well, there's nothing particularly Mexican about a Mexican lager. A Mexican lager is just like a European lager, right?
Right. Yeah.
So if you look up...
There's not like...
Pale European bitter lager seems like more like a Heineken. But what about pale malty?
So Mexican style lager is not even like a BJCP.
No, Mexican. There's nothing Mexican. That was Randy Moser's argument all the time about making Forbidden Root. He's like, these styles that you know to be Mexican or, you know, South American, they're just fucking European beers that they drink down there. It's nothing specifically Mexican about it.
Okay, you know? Right.
So like your Modelos or your Coronas, I mean, those are European lagers.
Yeah.
They just have Mexican names, you know. But let's look up pale malty European lager.
And then I feel like we're in that ballpark of that.
Medium yellow to pale gold, creamy white head, round sweetness, soft and dry, not crisp and biting.
Okay.
So
I would say this is soft.
Yeah, medium body, medium carbonation.
So we're splitting hairs on something that doesn't even exist.
No, we're just, as an official style. Like, much in a way like Logan Square is part of Bucktown. Logan Square is not one of the 77, which is weird, right? Because Logan's a neighborhood, sure.
Yeah.
But Logan's not one of the official 77
neighborhoods?
Right.
Okay.
Logan is part of Bucktown.
Okay.
I didn't know that until I fucking dish right. is weird. But oh, but yeah, I don't think Mexican lager, according to BHACP, is not a style.
Okay. So it feels more like a maybe the light lager, but maybe more in this like premium lager world we're in right now.
Premium lager.
Everyone's got the premium. Did you see Half Acre's new premium lager?
A premium lager
from Half Acre? Called like Reef Knot.
Summertime lager? That yeah. sounds very summery.
Yeah, but I think it's a new premium lager, but they have Fader. Wasn't that their premium lager?
Well, you know, allegedly Fader's dying. Maybe this is Fader. Fader might be making a comeback, but Fader was there year-round, and now they're doing the seasonal route with Summer Reef.
Right. But this Reef one looked like a Crystal Lake Brewing beer.
That's funny.
Like just the design and the colors. Like, I don't know. I thought Crystal Lake when I saw the can.
Shout out to Crystal Lake because I think we talk about underrated breweries that no one talks about. A lot of the stuff I drink from Crystal Lake, I like.
You enjoy? Yeah. I've never been. You made the drive once.
It's out there.
Right. And you had to sleep there. You had to bring a tent because you couldn't make it back.
It took forever. I think one of the guys from Hyperview was like, dude, I'm riding back with you. So we dropped him off in like Lincoln Park. But it's out there. Every bit of 90 minutes.
Right.
Yeah, it's a good ride.
Okay. But tasty beer from Ravinia. Definitely need to make it over there, get some food, see what else they're doing.
They might not be there soon, right?
Maybe just not called Ravinia, right?
Oh, they might be called not that festival in Highland Park Brewing.
Ravinia. What's the like? How far apart could they get from the name? Like Arvania? Like just change it or change the sound? Can they put like a umlaut over one of the letters or something?
And then Ravinia is not in Chicago. It's in Highland Park, so. I don't know. It wouldn't be the worst idea to change.
Mm-hmm. But fun beer, especially with Cinco de Mayo coming up. So, yeah, grab it. So Nick and I did absolutely nothing
this
past week somehow. I don't know how either of us failed in life, but we did. And so all we have is a lot of news and plans for places to go to, right?
Yeah, a lot of news. The Brewers Association... They released their annual numbers for volume for 2023. So the top breweries by sales in America for 2023.
Were these numbers down, up over last year? Did it say?
Well, it's an all-time high for breweries at 9,683.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number of breweries.
Number of breweries.
Okay. But not volume. It didn't.
Total number of U.S. operating brewery count. Was 9,812, up from 9,730. The closing rate increased, but continued to remain relatively low at 4%.
Wait, there's only 900?
9,000.
Oh, 9,000. Okay. 9,000. I'm like hearing the numbers wrong.
9,000. Okay. Yeah.
Because Illinois makes up like 200 of those.
Might be more than that.
Okay.
Yeah, Illinois got a ton of breweries. I think it might be closer to like, I think it's north of 300.
300.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, but are these people making more beer? That's right. Your question.
That's my question. Yeah. Didn't say that.
And I don't see that in the synopsis. Yeah.
So no. Otherwise, they'd say.
You want to hear the top five?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Top five breweries, craft breweries.
Okay.
Oh well, let's start with the definition of craft. I think that's a good starting point.
Because
a lot of these breweries.
Sam Adams still craft.
Dude. Yeah, so the definition is breweries that make fewer than 6 million barrels. So my assumption is that the threshold is Sam still. Because back when the definition was 2 million barrels, it's because Sam was doing 2 million.
Right.
Yeah. So you're making fewer than 6 million barrels, and you are not more than 25% owned by someone who is also not a craft brewer.
Okay.
So, you know, if you're owned by...
Anheuser-Busch.
If you're New Belgium and you're owned by a Japanese brewery, you're out. If you're a Stone and you got bought by Sapporo.
Also Japanese brewery.
You're out.
So if you're owned by the Japanese, you're out.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you're owned by Monster Energy Drinks or you're owned by a cannabis company, you're somehow still in.
Oh, right. Because they bought all those AB.
Yeah, Tilray Brands bought all those breweries. So the top five, actually, like, doesn't look like much movement. Number one is Yuengling.
Okay.
Right? Number two is Boston Beer Company. Wow, Yuengling's making more than Boston Beer Company.
That's kind of surprising. For basically one beer.
What's because Yuengling's,
or two beers,
but... Yuengling's making, they got like a dark and a light.
Right.
Right? That's it.
That's a crazy amount of volume.
Yeah. Sierra Nevada's third. Duvel Morgat is fourth. Duvel Morgat, they actually bought Boulevard.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they bought Boulevard. Gambrinus is five.
What's Gambrinus?
Gambrinus is Scheinerbach.
Oh.
So Scheinerbach is the fifth largest craft brewer, and pretty much all they make is Scheinerbach. But Trümmerpils is in that too.
They make?
Yeah. Gambrinus makes Trümmerpils and Scheiner. And they are number five.
Okay.
But Tilray, the weed company that bought all those brands, they are actually number six.
Okay.
Yeah. So to put that in perspective,
what's the, does it have like the largest Illinois craft brewery on there? Does
I think
it,
I saw.
It's got to be like.
I think Rev was 39.
Okay.
Floyd's over in Indiana was 20.
That's pretty good for Floyd's that. You just see their beer around anymore.
Yeah. If you counted everybody that didn't get sold, you know, your Lagunitas, your Bells, your Founders, your Stones, you know, your Gooses, I mean, then a lot of people would be out of the list. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it seems a little arbitrary. You know, do we say Bells? Yeah, we said Bells, right? Bells, yeah. They're out too because of the same Japanese. Well, let's compare that to top five overall.
Okay.
Anheuser-Busch, Molson Coors are one and two. Constellation Brands, that's Corona, and those guys, that's three. Number four is Heineken. Number five is Pabst.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty good for Pabst. Just making.
PBR?
Right? That's it, right?
Yeah, right? That's all I can
and
think
maybe
of.
Maybe like a couple variants that no one's drinking.
The coffee,
and there's like a dark, I think.
What's interesting here is Diageo, which is basically Guinness, is number six overall. So Guinness is number six. So Guinness makes more beer than Yuengling, which is the number one craft brewery.
Okay.
Yeah, because Yuengling comes in at number seven overall. So just to give perspective, like there's a lot of beer being sold, a lot more than just craft beer.
That's true. We kind of get in this bubble sometimes that we're like... No one's drinking these breweries. There's breweries closing, but you got Pabst somehow selling all this beer. You got Yuengling.
If Pabst and Guinness were, if PBR and Guinness were craft breweries, they'd sell more than any other craft brewery.
Right. When they're making one beer.
Pretty much.
That's what's crazy about the Yuengling and Pabst thing. It's like we're outselling everyone, every craft brewery, and we're making one beer.
Yeah. This report also said that of those, 9,800 or so breweries, 650 of them have distilling licenses now.
Hmm. Okay.
So a lot of people making whiskey too.
Or canned cocktails.
Or, spirit.
Pre-mixed cocktails.
RTDs, ready to drinks, So, that's their annual list, man, from the Brewers Association.
Okay.
Which I think it's a trade organization. I think you have to pay to be a member.
Right, because I think the Craft Brewers Conference is like about to go on, and or that's going on.
So they circled this email around because CBC is in Vegas this year.
Okay.
And I think the rumor is that it might just run the circuit that it's been running. So you might see it in Indianapolis again, and DC again, and San Diego again for the next 3 years.
Oh, so never Chicago again?
Chicago would be fun. When's the last time I had been in Chicago?
That was when they made the symposium. Over 10 years ago.
2010, I think.
Maybe, yeah.
That sounds about right. Yeah. So that's it for numbers. That's it for beer in America by the numbers.
Okay, all right.
A little bit more localized news.
Yeah.
Kings and Convoy is closed. Did we talk about that?
I don't know if we did talk about it.
Yeah, Kings and Convoy, who notoriously bought what used to be a top Ballast 50 Point. Brewery, Ballast Point. Kings and Convicts decided they're going to close and just focus on Ballast Point.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And they had renderings on their walls from basically day one of this giant brewery.
Golf.
They were going to open up and Wisconsin, right?
Or something. Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Where the little outlet malls are.
So basically, if any brewery, because we saw this with Finch, has plans for a massive brewery, they are going out of business.
Right. Kings and Convicts is closed. Oakenroy in Humboldt Park is closing.
Oh, really?
After 4 years. They had a four-year run in the Kimball Arts Center in Humboldt Park. Right off the 606. Pretty nice summertime ride to the old Oakenroy.
And they had that coffee place next door, Dayglow.
Yeah.
Which we heard rumors years ago. Remember when they said they were going to open up Nightglow?
Oh, a brewery.
The brewery. So maybe Nightglow takes over Oakenroy.
I think Nightglow opened in New York, I think, right?
Oh.
I think I saw that. They opened the... And I think that's because it was the same family.
It was like the brother.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So Oakenroy is closing. There's a rumor that Dutchback, who's currently brewing at Junior Fermenta, is looking to move into the Oakenroy space.
Oh, that'd be cool. I feel like... Oakenroy, I went once. It was interesting and unique, but it didn't seem like they even gave a shit about what was happening there. Yeah. Like, from a food point, from a beer point, they were just like, we're a space. Scan the QR code and we'll bring you something.
It's one of those spaces that kind of happened to be a brewery. Didn't necessarily feel like a brewery. You didn't necessarily see the equipment. They didn't necessarily pour your beer in traditional beer cups.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, it kind of felt like Hopewell a little bit, where it's a space that, I don't know what you call it. It's kind of, it's a very versatile space that could be anything. Pilot Project is a lot like that for me.
Right.
You go in there and it doesn't have a traditional beer feel. I'm not saying that's the reason it's closing. Just saying it didn't. What's the statement you're making? It kind of felt a little bit like somewhere between Hopewell, Pilot Project and McKellar, right?
Right, yeah. And like
this Nordic cafe.
Yeah, getting the beer in different glasses was kind of cool, but then at the same time, it did feel like, well, you're at home with a kegerator. Like, well, I finished my coffee. I guess I'll just fill up my coffee cup with beer now.
Yeah.
And look at me.
And maybe
I'm a brewery.
Maybe breweries are like that in other countries. I don't know, right? Because I don't really get around.
You know?
But like, I don't know. Maybe if you go to, I don't know, Belgium or, you know, somewhere in France where they care about bakeries on every corner. Maybe some of their breweries look like this. I don't know.
Yeah, I would say they hurt from no one knew it existed. I think because we talk about this branding on glassware a lot because if I'm going to take a picture, this having Half Acre on this cup
helps.
Just like helps Half Acre get the word out.
It helps a lot. That's very true.
Here's my grandma cup.
Yeah.
Of like,
it's like a Ross glass.
Yeah.
Fucking
beer.
With my Czech dark lager in it.
I'm at Oakenroy. You see it, you're like, I'm not really sure how to say that.
It's almost like you're selling beer to people who, you know, may or may not always drink beer.
Right.
And who knows? Maybe that's, I don't know. Maybe that's the right thing to do. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Maybe we're the ones that just expect something else, but where they're from, this is how beer is served.
Right. No one talked about that place, so I guess it's not surprising.
Yeah. I did like that it was off the path, kind of forced you to go to Humboldt Park, a place I never really go for beer necessarily.
Sure.
You know, I go to Humboldt Park, you know, Puerto Rican food, you know, maybe some fucking, pastries or something.
Right.
Or just go to bike ride through the actual park, but never go there for beer. So it was right off the 606. It was cool for that. Oh, but they're closing their last day is this Sunday, the 21st.
Okay.
So they're out of there.
I did not see that one on the list. If I would have had the bingo card.
Oakenroy?
Do you think Sean Curry had that on the list?
I don't know, man. He needs to let us give us a heads up. Down in Pilsen, Low Res, which closed, I want to say maybe that was this year or last year.
Yeah.
They have a new tenant. Monochrome is moving into the old Low Res space.
Okay. This was a big space.
Yeah.
It was like, it reminded me a little bit of Empirical, like a little bit of like, we got couches and we're kind of there, like hang out, we're a brewery, coffee shop, hangout, brewery kind of place.
Yeah, Pilsen at one point had three breweries. They had Moody Tongue, Low Res, and the brewery that's still there. Fuck, now I'm drawing a blank on who they are.
I'm thinking like, I want to say like Right Shift, but it's not right.
No.
Low Res.
Lores Moody Tongue. Alulu.
Alulu.
And yeah. Alulu. Yeah. So now they just have Alulu. But it looks like Alulu's getting some company and Monochrome's moving in. I know nothing about Monochrome. When you look up the two guys, one of them's an Indian guy, and he's got, like, there's a Tumblr page from 2015. It's super weird. Everything's okay. Everything's black and white. But this guy has, like, straight-up Indian brewery on his fucking LinkedIn. So okay. I don't know how that translates to what they're going to do here, but... I know nothing about Monochrome.
Yeah, that'd be cool. We don't really have a Indian-inspired brewery. That seems like not the place you would open that up in a Latino neighborhood, but more power to him. That's cool.
Or maybe that's just his background.
Right.
Right. And he could just be making...
Mexican lager.
Fucking Mexican lagers, red ales and shit. Right. Who the fuck knows? Yeah. Okay. Bitter Pops, man. Bitter Pops, the slashy on Lincoln. Right across the street from Green Lady, they turn 8.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, they had a tournament for they had a March Madness style tournament called the like the Bitter Pops tournament, but it was a tournament just for pilsners. So let me read you the final four.
Okay.
Pilsners that made it. It was something you could vote on. You could drink the beer and vote on a pilsner. Roaring Table, Urban Chestnut, Ravinia Food Truck, and Sipes Extra Pale Ale. Those are the pilsners in the final four. And Sipes took home the title of Bitter Madness, they called it.
I didn't realize Sipes was a pilsner.
The first one?
Yeah.
Right.
Why did I not think it was a pilsner?
Sipes Extra Pale Pilsner.
I thought it was just extra pale.
Well, it's typically associate pale with pilsner. You associate pale with ale. Right. But they were making it a Metro, so why would it be an ale, right?
Right.
It's weird. Like, I know.
I think I just extra pale lager was what it said on it.
Yeah, extra pale pilsner.
Okay.
So they won the Bitter Madness tournament. The good folks at Sipes. So cheers to them. I think they're gonna see life at Pilot Project. Pilot
Project, yeah.
Yeah. Now that
just open up your own fucking brewery, man.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
Not investing in tanks is what they're doing, Brad.
Yes, yeah.
Cheers to Solemn Oath. Still Life turns 3. Hmm. Yeah, so good for
them. I would have thought that would be older.
That's a good hang right on Armitage.
I guess it didn't really open till after the pandemic, which is three years. But it was in the process of opening before COVID.
Yeah.
And then there was like, oh, is there just city? We questioned if you went back to the tapes of Chicago Beer Pass, we thought it might have just been a City Water location. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
There was thoughts of, we thought that just might happen.
But no, it's a Wisconsin Beer Lodge right in the heart of fucking Logan Square. It somehow works.
Okay.
I didn't peg them as a brewery that would even set up shop in the city. But once you're there, once you talk to them, once you drink their stuff, it all kind of fits what's going on in Logan. It all just kind of works. It's a satellite brewery for the stuff they make in Naperville.
Yeah.
It gives them a chance to, rip off fresh beers through Hidden Hands, just on Drive Through the City. And, you know, it's a very fun project. I'm very excited for them. You know, I kind of dig their stuff.
Yeah.
So good for them. Goose Island, man. The Salt Shed is opening May 3rd.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're back. Goose Island is back.
Right, and we are going to a preview event on April 9th or 29th, so a few days before it opens, which I'm excited to see what's happening. Talk to our buddy Mike over there.
Yeah, so it'll be good to get over to Goose Island. Of course.
New chef, new food.
Yeah. They brought the tanks over from Clybourne.
Right.
I think when did Clybourne close? Like late 2023, something like that? Maybe early 2024?
Yeah.
So, true to what they said they would do, they're opening May 3rd.
It was right around the time of Black Friday stuff, because we were trying to get an interview in.
Black Friday.
They were like, no, we need to focus on Black Friday. And we're like...
A beer that they don't make at Clybourne.
Right.
Yeah, they need to focus on it. Yeah. So, there you go. There's that.
Cool.
Dark Lord is May 18th. One of the variants for Dark Lord is Dark Lord 20th Anniversary Stout.
What is it?
Dark. Oh, I don't know. There's three flights. I never fucking tell you. Mm. But I didn't know Dark Lord was 20 years old. This is much like Phobat. Phobat was 20, right, last year.
Right.
So, Dark Lord 20. Have you been to all 20 Dark Lords?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
And I probably will never go to another one. I did see someone recently post, I think it was in a Facebook group, they're like, I didn't realize Floyd's was still closed since the pandemic. And it's like, yeah, they're still closed. They haven't opened, but yet they're making, they were on that top 50 list Nick talked about.
At number 20.
And somehow they're selling beer, so they're like, screw this, we're never opening it up because that's a waste of money for us to have you nerds in here drinking our beer. You'll buy it anyway.
They got a lot of, what do you call it? They got a lot of good current. They got a lot of public, whatever you call it, where you got good public currency.
Right,
you're
yeah.
good, where you're good in these streets, where people will fuck with you no matter what you do. Three Floyds has a lot of that.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Even I'm who, like, yeah. I often will not drink or not drink beer, especially not from Chicago, but I'm like, I don't know, Indiana isn't a great place, so I'm not going to drink a lot of their beer, but I'll still get myself a Three Floyds.
You know, Zombie Ice, if somebody opened a Zombie Ice right now, I'd probably drink it. You know, I mean, you know, it's number one in a lot of people's hearts, regardless of what the variants taste like, regardless of what the weather on Dark Lord Day is, regardless of if they ever fucking open again.
Regardless that they change the beer recipes all the time.
They
and
do.
It's never your Gumballhead, your Zombie Dust doesn't taste like what you fell in love with.
Behemoth.
You still drink it and you're like, oh yeah, that's what I like.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you don't. Either you're getting tricked or they know what you like
or you're
as
just,
you change.
Or they've done something to you. Something about them, you know, you just overlook everything and just keep going back.
It doesn't hit right, but I still love it.
Yeah. No Brian Baru, you don't care. You know?
Yeah.
I think they got a new CEO. And the new CEO said, hey, man, I love to work with you guys, but you guys got to open this fucking brew pub. I mean, because it's the pipeline for, you know, for most breweries, right? That built-in promise of a certain profit margin is there staring you right in the face at every tap room.
Right.
Your profit margin is going to be more there than it is if you send it out into the world through a distro or anywhere else. So everybody else seems to think that that's the most important piece, except for these guys. It's so weird, you know. But for whatever reason, they didn't open. But I think you're going to see them open because they hire somebody new who is kind of pushing the agenda.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Dark Lord Day, May 18th, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then also that same day, Goose Island Salt Shed's opening is Beer in a Glass, right?
Yeah. Beer in a Glass is also May 3rd. So Beer in a Glass.
At the train station, right?
The Great Hall.
The Great Hall.
The Great Hall, they call it. It technically does have an all glass roof.
Okay.
I think they got, you can fit 1,500 people in the Great Hall. I think they got priced out of, what was the greatest venue for a beer event ever at
Conservatory.
Garfield Park Conservatory. So it's hard to top that. But I think weather permitting, it was a great event. I had some really shitty Garfield Park experiences where they would give you these grocery bags from Jewel Osco to put on your feet because of all this. Well, first of all, it rained like a motherfucker on the Blue Terrace. And then the people at the Garfield Conservatory didn't want you just walking all over the grass. So everyone had to walk in this one particular path.
Which was mud.
And it was a train wreck of a party.
Yeah.
But weather permitting, I think it's probably it's as good a party as Chicago can throw for beer at that place. But they got priced out.
So. Last year we went to the train station. We had a good time.
It was fun. I think I think Union Station kind of promotes sustainability. They want you to, you know, drive, but not drive.
Train.
They want you to train it. And then it's still one of the places where you can get beers from all over the city and state. You know, I think the brewers are kind of, you know, trying to impress each other. A lot of people are bringing stuff in crowlers, bringing stuff in bottles.
Sure.
Making it so like, hey, you brought your ass all the way down to the city. Let me give you something fun that you can't go to Whole Foods and get.
Right.
I think there's still a focus on that.
Okay.
So that is the same day as Goose opening.
Opening, okay.
Yeah. Nice. I might actually just go to the Goose thing.
But. Not gonna go to Salt. Not gonna go to the Under Glass.
What time is Goose open?
What? We're going to Goose 3 days before that.
Oh yeah, that's right.
What do you gotta go to Goose again for?
That's true. Yeah, right.
Nick just loves to support the biggest brewery in the world.
I mean, I like Goose. We just talked about the Dark Lord effect. You know, I got a thing for old time Goose memories. You know, but.
Oh man, they got you, man. They got you.
Yeah.
All right. What else you got?
Man, I actually think that's it for news. I saw a few things I wanted to talk about that I knew we probably should bring up, but I think we touched them all. Yeah, we did touch them all. So,
okay.
Supermassive is back.
These Deepwoods beers are like staring us in the face here.
Yeah. So the last Supermassive was, I think, 2020.
Okay.
So there's Supermassive, and then there's Mocha Supermassive.
In a 16 and...
No, that's 19.2 oh, right 19. There, bud. Yeah. So you get the brick. You get the four 12-ounce cans in the brick, just like you know and love. But then they did a variant with chocolate or cacao nibs, which I think is a new thing they're rolling out. So that's okay. Deep was... Supermassive Mocha. So, no one uses the word supermassive to describe beer anymore or ever. So, you know. How many beers you know that just said the word supermassive? And when do you even use the word supermassive with anything? You know. Also, as coffee drinkers and beer lovers, I think this is one of the few attempts where Rev is just like, hey, balance is out the window. We're giving you a balls deep fucking coffee beer.
Okay.
Barrel-aged coffee beer. And I don't know if they do that a lot these days.
Have you dived into any of these yet?
I'm very curious about these.
Did you just pick them up? Or
I've had them for a couple days.
Okay.
So that was in a trunk.
It's cold,
Yeah. So, yeah. They drop Friday, and the party is Friday.
Oh, damn. Okay.
So, yeah.
Tomorrow, as we're recording this, which I'm super late on all the episodes, so this could be out.
So Supermassive is back. I wouldn't say it's the peak of the program. I think it's number one in a lot of people's hearts.
But is this the start of Deepwoods, or is this just the summer release? It's a one-off.
This is not Deepwoods. This is not the launch of Deepwoods 2024.
But this is when, it's April.
Yeah.
If you look back at 2020, pandemic shut down, that's when... it launched.
They kicked it off. It rolled it up. Supermassive. It was
rolled up in a berry one.
Strawberry jacket
mixed berry.
Yeah, and it was Thunder Taker.
And you rolled up in your car, and they brought it out to you.
Yeah. So that did happen when Supermassive first dropped, but this is a one-off, not part of last year's rollout, not part of the upcoming fall rollout.
So there's this, but then there's also a berry one that should happen sometime in the summer. That's a Deepwoods. Not part of the run, but there's usually two in the spring, summer.
Yeah. In the past, that's included the mixed berry, the strawberry, and strawberry jacket.
Right.
And mixed berry right away, and honey jacket.
For Pawpaw jacket.
Pawpaw? They say Pawpaws are notoriously... go bad very fast. So you grab Pawpaws, like Goose said this, you grab Pawpaws, you kind of got to put them in the boil like that day. You sit on them overnight, they might be all brown and shit.
Oh shit,
like
really?
Pawpaws. The kiwi of the Midwest, they call it.
Kiwi Deepwoods, kiwi Ryeway.
I think they're too busy running back their favorites, because that's what we saw this year, right? We saw VSOR Select.
We're probably still in a roll the hits. We're going to be safe. We're not going to ship these out and have kiwi sit on the shelves.
And to be honest with you, man, in the past when they kind of pushed the envelope a little bit, I'm more accepting of that with BCS, because they have no sense. They just throw everything at the wall and whatever sticks and whatever don't. Deepwoods, they have a little more reverence for the adjuncts they use.
Yeah.
You know, Oh, but even when they go out their comfort zone, I'm just like, well, maybe just don't do that.
Sure.
You know, like I didn't think vanilla was one of my favorites. I don't think coconut's one of my favorites. Even Death by Plums, the Italian plums. You know, I'm still not sure what a plum is. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't mind. I don't mind if they just play the hits. You know? Because, yeah, when they go outside their comfort zone, I'm never in, but the shit that they do, they do it. They do it. They do it well. So
fair enough. Cool. Yeah. So look for these. Look for these supermassives. You know, this episode will be out if he's already out. So I'm sure they'll hit the stores because these aren't really selling out like maybe they were a year or two ago.
Right. I think go to Benny's right now and go get Ryway if you want.
Right. So.
You can go there and get, yeah, you can probably go to get Ryway and go get that star.
Right.
Right now if you wanted to.
Cool.
Yeah.
Anything else? I kind of want to crack this open.
Let's
wrap this up. And
I kind of want to know what it tastes like.
All right. So that's going to do it for this episode. Make it over to Vinia. Ask them what's happening with their name.
Ask them how much money they want from your pocket as a Chicago taxpayer. How much money do they want for you?
To change their name?
To save their business and change their name.
Just change the name. Just call it Chicago Brewing.
You know, if you did a...
Or what was the brewery that was in there before them?
Right.
Yeah.
It was a three-top. Arcade.
Yeah, Arcade.
ATL.
Just change it to Ale Syndicate. I bet that name is available.
Amazing.
You could
amazing.
Bring Ale Syndicate back from the grave.
I have an Ale Syndicate t-shirt that I never wear because I can't fit it. But it looks great. It's a good looking logo, good looking font from like the 50s, the cursive. If they change their name to Ale Syndicate, Half Acre had a chance to be a Whole Acre. And they didn't. They went with Suncatcher.
Right. I got my Breakside.
See?
Brewing hat. That's fun to like bust out sometimes.
That's a walk through Chicago history right there, bud.
Yeah.
Man.
Cool. All right. That's going to do it. Take care.
Cheers.